I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. We got some combine preview to do. The show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Joined now, of course, by the handsome, devilishly handsome John Breach, and special guest, great friend of the podcast, the one, the only, Josh Edwards, here for a 2024 combine preview. Josh, I think we've done this like every year for the last 3 or 4 years. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's always fun this time of year because I get to reconnect with Brinson. Breach and I don't get to do enough, so it's always good to see his face and talk a little bit about the combine this week and what it's going to mean for the NFL draft.
I see that Josh got an early start on growing his combine beard. A lot of facial hair there, man.
This is actually post-shave, so we got a little stubble going, but I'm sure it's going to be much worse by the end of the week.
It is fascinating how it's like if you kind of like I can kind of track what's going on in the football world by who I'm talking to on the podcast. Like when Josh is here, means it's off season and it makes me happy. Sent an email to editors to Kyle Stackpole and asking if he wants mock drafts. He said, "Can you start next Tuesday?" So mock draft season, excited for it. I think you can make the case that mock drafts before free agency are oftentimes a moot point, but the people love the content. And the combine, look, the combine is as big as it's ever been. You know, it's fascinating because it's really become much like media night at the Super Bowl and a host of other NFL events. It's become really more driven for fans and maybe even driven for commercial success than it used to be. The combine used to be like all the people around the NFL world meet and gossip and hang out in Indianapolis. Yeah, that still happens, but we've seen Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys isn't going to the combine. Jerry Jones will be there. Don't worry. I assume. We've got Robert Saleh reportedly, according to Pro Football Talk, not going. And then the Rams have just stopped sending people to the combine. It's pretty crazy. Josh, do you think that we are? Do you think this is something that is going to is this a macro trend that's going to continue? And are you surprised at how many teams don't go to the combine?
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising because I do think there is some value that comes from this type of a setting. You get to get in front of these players, interview them, walk them through some of the plays that they had, whether it was good or bad, and just be like, hey, what were you seeing on this particular play? It's helpful for quarterbacks trying to understand what they're seeing. So I do think that they're still sending some key personnel. I thought this was going to be more of a COVID thing where, after a couple of years, we started seeing some of these guys come back. But all of the verified information is end up sent around to the NFL teams anyway. So perhaps they're just trying to save on the bottom line. I don't know. I do think that there is still some value for the teams that are willing to send some personnel there and get some face-to-face time with these prospects.
I think it's interesting that Sean McVay basically in the Rams front office started this trend. But as Josh said, it was in 2020 during the COVID season. So you had no idea if this was a one-off thing or if they thought, we've been thinking about this. This is the perfect year to do it. And so no one really thought anything about it because A, COVID, and B, the Rams have never had a first round pick since Sean McVay's been there. So it was like, hey, maybe we can study these lower round picks a little bit better from home. We'll send a couple guys to do the interviews, but that's about it. But now, as Brent had mentioned, you have more than Sean McVay. You have Mike McCarthy, you have Robert Saleh, and now you, I think Packers coach Matt LaFleur also not going to be there. So we're talking about 1/8 of the head coaches aren't going to be in Indianapolis. But when you see this happen, and then we saw what that happened with the Rams draft class last year with Puka Nacua and Kobe Turner, when they're hitting home runs like that, that's other coaches saying, maybe we don't need to waste our time in Indy. So I think it will be interesting to see how this plays out going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you too, you can make the case like Mike McCarthy, you know, he's going to go like, you know, for the prospect information you're getting, you're going to end up having these interviews with the prospects you want to talk to in your building anyway. Do you want to churn through every single, every single prospect in the entire NFL? Do you want to deal with all the agent stuff that you have to deal with? Do you want to have to get up in front of the media and answer a bunch of questions? I mean, you get to avoid all that by not going. And it's not like Mike McCarthy's questions that they gets asked are, you know, it's basically people hammering him about, you know, are you worried about your job? Do you think, you know, is Dak Prescott getting a new contract? There's all this stuff that, you know, it's just, I mean, you're not breaking down prospects at the combine like that. And so I can see it. Like, it basically boils down to, is your team winning? And is your team like finding prospects anyway, like the Rams? And so, yeah, keep doing whatever process works. Prospects tend to do a little things differently sometimes too. And we've got a really unique situation, Josh, in Marvin Harrison Jr., who is not going to do anything at the combine whatsoever, according to Albert Breer of the MMQB.com. He's going to go to Indianapolis, you know, meet with whoever, I guess, but he's not going to do any of the drills. He's not going to, and the logic here is that Marvin Harrison, I think this is actually really, really smart. And it, you know, it's, you know, the caveat here, Marvin Harrison is a stone cold lock to go top 10 in this draft. I would say top 5, but there are 3 quarterbacks who could go ahead of him, and you never know what happens. And I've seen several people actually have Malik Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison. We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, by a lot of times you have to train differently than you train for football to train for the combine. You have to, like, you're training for the 40-yard dash, which is something you don't practically use in an NFL game. So, Josh, I'm wondering, do you think this will be maybe more of a trend as well, that we could see prospects, you know, saying, all right, look, I know that I'm a top 10. I know I'm a top first-round guy. I'm not going to train for the 40 here. You've got a 40 time for my pro day. Like, I'm just going to get ready to play football and be the best football player I can be.
Yeah, I think everything can be applied contextually. There are some players that this type of a setting does benefit them. Maybe they want to get the buzz moving in a positive direction. But for somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr., there's not really anything that he can do to help himself. Everybody views him as this can't-miss prospect that's likely to go top 5, depending on, you know, how many quarterbacks are ultimately taken in the top 5. But somebody that's going to be taken early in the NFL draft, and there's not much he can do to help himself. So perhaps he's a pioneer and he kind of sets the course for other top prospects in the future to where they don't do this type of a setting, because the only outcome is that you could possibly hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Can Malik Nabers do enough to overcome, you know, the lead that he has as the top wide receiver in this class? I know some people feel that he could. I don't personally think that he can, but Nabers is somebody that stands to gain quite a bit by being there in Indianapolis and going through this testing. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to hurt Marvin Harrison Jr. all that much. He's got a father that played in the NFL too. So he's getting some advice. He knows what he needs to be doing to be prepared for day one, stepping into that locker room and being ready as a professional. And this just doesn't happen to be part of his plan.
Also, yeah, Breach worth noting, he's not hiring an agent either.
Yeah, as Josh said, I think having a dad that is an NFL legend helps out, because they can kind of walk you through this horse and pony show and tell you, you don't need to be a part of this. But I do think that only applies to a handful of players, maybe.
And yourself, John.
Right. Well, yeah. But if you're in the top 15, and you feel comfortable about that, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably, you know, top 2 at his position, if not top 1, certainly in the top 15, this is not going to hurt his stock. I actually thought the interesting thing here was that Ian Rappaport added that he might not even do anything at his pro day. So forget the combine. He's just going to straight up work out to stay in football shape. And Brenton, I think you nailed it on the head by saying that it is a completely different thing getting your body prepped for the combine than it is prepping yourself for football, for football practice, for football training camp, for football games. And so you're getting a little bit out of football shape when you're putting yourself in combine shape. It's like if you're running track and someone runs the 100 meters and someone runs the 1600 meters, you're not training the same way because they're two completely different races. And that's kind of what I think Harrison's trying to get away from. He's saying, I'm doing the 100 meters and that's the only race I'm training for. I don't care about this other stuff. And I think if he looks good in his rookie season, this is certainly something we could see from future prospects going forward.
But yeah, I agree with that. And I also agree that this is certainly a unique case where Hall of Fame father, locked job, top five pick. I know Lance Zierlein at NFL.com has him as his number one prospect. And Daniel Jeremiah, I think, has him at number two behind Caleb Williams on his overall prospect list. We will get to those guys in a minute. Jaden Daniels not going to work out either, I don't think, because of an injury situation. Anybody else notable, Josh, that from a headline perspective about whether they're going to work out or whether they're going to throw, et cetera?
Well, I don't think we're going to see Caleb Williams either. Ian Rappaport reported that earlier today. Drake May, I haven't seen one way or another if he's going to throw. Bo Nix out of Oregon, the quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, those guys are expected to throw in Indianapolis this week. And that's where you can kind of see some of the pecking order in the quarterback rankings start to shift a little bit, because we've been talking about Caleb Williams. We've been talking about Drake May from North Carolina, Jaden Daniels coming off a Heisman season. That next group of quarterbacks, and perhaps McCarthy gets into that top tier quarterbacks. I think he's a very consistent player that, has deserved that level of consideration for quite some time.
It's a teaser for our next topic. You seem like you might be high on him.
Yeah, he's somebody that I've been talking about all season. I've been trying to get Wilson on board. Rick Spielman has been in my corner for a little while on McCarthy. So, yeah, he's somebody that I think could rise. But this is a big week for the Bo Nixes, the Michael Penixes of the world that – could possibly help themselves get into the first round if they're not already in that first round conversation. Can they get into the first round? Because now you're talking about a fifth-year guaranteed contract. You're talking about all that guaranteed money. So that's going to be a very important aspect for the quarterbacks this week.
Breach, I'm curious what and you too, Josh, obviously, but the S2, the cognitive testing, of course, we've had the – why am I forgetting what the name of the old school? The Wunderlich. Jeez, Louise, Will. I don't even know what word I was going to say other than Wunderlich. The Wunderlich testing has always been under fire because the scores get leaked out. People are mad at anonymous people saying you did well on this. It doesn't pertain to football. It's a cognitive test. There's been some loose correlation with success with the Wunderlich, and I think depending on how you want to draw various dots to the Wunderlich or whatever, you could make the case that it's both dumb and both useful and not something that you should ever hang your hat on when it comes to picking players for football. The S2 test, which is more of a testing your reflexes a little bit more of a physical test than a strictly like written down SAT style test, I believe, was the hot thing. Everybody's talking about S2. Oh, look at the predictive way that it's helped find players. And then the S2 test said that C.J. Stroud sucks and that Bryce Young is great. And Bryce Young had a terrible rookie year. And C.J. Stroud, who went second, had one of the all-time great rookie years. So, Breach, do you think where are we at with the S2 buzz surrounding the 2024 Combine? I cannot imagine that anybody is allowed in Carolina, down in Charlotte, to mention the phrase S2 test around David Tepper.
The cognitive tests are just so crazy because you're trying to measure things that are almost immeasurable as far as what they can do on the football field, how fast they can process information. But being able to process information on a pen and paper test is not the same as being on a football field, knowing your receiver is going to be like part of that is just an innate naturalness that a lot of these guys have as a natural gift. And so, look, I did read something for the draft this past year that C.J. Stroud, I think it was from The Athletic, that his score was actually flagged before the draft, and then the S2 company was pointing that out, and everybody's like, well, that's you're mentioned after the fact, but they did mention it before the fact, but no one cares about that because all they're thinking about is that, hey, look, whether it was flagged or not, something happened where it didn't work, And I feel like this past year was really the first time the S2 test really came out as the test. You know, for the past every year I've been working with you, Brenton, it's been the Wonderlic. The S2 comes out as the big test, and then you have this bomb blow up on it in its first big year with the CJ Stroud thing. So I won't be surprised if players are a little more suspicious of the cognitive tests and maybe just say, you know what, we're not going to take it because there's no upside here. And if the teams want to hold that against us, that's fine. But it does seem like if you do well, no one remembers that. But if you bomb it, that gets leaked, that gets pointed out. So I'm not sure there's a huge upside for players to take these.
Yeah, Josh, you basically either have to be really high or really low to draw any sort of attention. Bryce Young reported they had like the highest S2 test score ever, which comes to mind, he can just get the ball to Adam Thielen on third and short really quickly. Like, that's about it.
Yeah, I think all of this, again, can be, you know, applied contextually, because last year I think part of the topic was that he had to take this test at the end of a long day at the combine, you know, after he had gone through all the medicals, after he had gone through the poking and prodding that comes with being in Indianapolis. So it's understandable that he might have been tired in that kind of a setting. That has to be taken under consideration. As Breach noted, you know, it doesn't account for the type of talent that you have around you. It doesn't account for the wide receivers that you have or who's blocking for you, what the play call was, any of that kind of stuff. So while I do think it is flawed, I also think that there is some form of application for this, because NFL teams are always going to be one step ahead. They're always trying to find something that's going to give them a competitive advantage. So they're going to continue sinking resources into these types of tests, trying to figure out what works the best. And then maybe one day they're actually able to find, some kind of a cognitive test that is going to be able to determine what kind of a player they could be in the NFL. But right now there's clearly a flawed system. And that was very evident last year with everything that came out in the S2 tests.
And I'm going to point out one more thing, Brinson, because I have to, as a note of Bengals homer, the highest score in the history of the Wonderlic test was by Pat McAnally, a former Bengals player.
Oh, fun fact.
And here is something more interesting about that, is that McAnally always thought he aced the Wonderlic. He got a 50 out of 50, and he thought that actually hurt his draft stock. So it was the reverse of, yes, exactly. Really? His exact quote was, so how did that hurt me in the draft? Coaches and front office guys don't like extremes one way or the other, but particularly not on the high side. I think they think guys who are intelligent will challenge authority too much. So he thought it hurt his draft stock for acing the test. And then you have it, you know, obviously if you bomb it, people think that hurts your draft stock. So you want to get right in the middle.
Yeah, you just want to hit an average score and no one talks about it. It's like, this guy's just an average rockhead who happens to have like kind of fast reflexes. All right, let's talk real quickly about the schedule for the combine. I believe Harry has a graphic we can toss up. The combine's weird. They've changed it around a lot since back in the day. We used to sit in the Indianapolis, in the Lucas Oil Stadium food court area. And you would listen to, they would announce the drills, you would watch it on TV. They happen during the day. Well, the NFL is promiscuous and loves cash. So now they've tried to make it a prime time event, which is why you see the quarterback workouts coming over the weekend. Monday, I know everybody should make sure to check out With the First Pick podcast. Ryan Wilson and Rick Spielman, Pete Prisco will be on there as well. Josh, obviously, on. They are going to be on site in Indianapolis doing stuff with HQ as well. They get there today, and you see the defensive linemen and linebackers go early. Defensive backs and tight ends come in on Monday. And so they sort of stagger the workouts by position. It has dramatically changed from 10 years ago when we used to get – you would sit there and I remember I sat at a table with Russell. Nobody was sitting at Russell Wilson's table. Like, I went up and sat down at Russell Wilson's table solo. I was like asking him, hey, what's up, buddy? Actually, I've got a picture and I don't know where it is. I can't find it right now. But BJ Coleman, the former Chattanooga quarterback, he went to my high school, went to the same high school I did. And one of the media guys for the Broncos, former media guys for the Broncos, also went to Macaulay. We got a picture of the three of us. Like, it's like the players were milling around. It's just a very different scene. Now, at the same time, I was at the combine when Johnny Manziel came through. Absolute scenes. You know, I was at the combine for RG3, Andrew Luck. I remember the first time interviewed Jim Harbaugh. They used to do it with like three coaches at a time. You had to pick which one you went to. And it's like you would have like 10 people sitting there for Jim Harbaugh's press conference. His press conference for the this year is going to be jammed. People will flood it. It's a whole different beast than it used to be. They moved it out of the food court and into sort of the conference room area, so it's further away from the stadium. It's a whole thing. But you see the schedule there. It'll be prime time. The guys will work out, and that leads us into the quarterback discussion. Because Josh, actually, you know what? Yeah, we're talking about quarterbacks now. Caleb Williams not throwing. Shout out to producer Noah for this graphic and producer Harry for getting it on here. Talk to us about the quarterbacks, how you rank them. You mentioned Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, the top three. Is Caleb, Drake, Jaden your order? And then who's your fourth guy behind them, and how close is he to that group?
Yeah, I believe that is the order that I have right now. Caleb Williams, I think, is just a different talent in terms of what he brings to the table. Somebody that is incredibly athletic. First and foremost, you have to be able to make plays from the pocket. You have to be able to operate on time, have good footwork in the pocket. I think he does. But you also need to have that creative side of you where you're able to extend plays and have the accuracy to make throws on the run, similar to what we've seen from a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. I think that's where the players that are having success in the NFL are able to thrive. And I think Caleb Williams offers that level, that level of adaptability in the open space. Jaden Daniels, coming off a Heisman season, he's made as big of a stride as anyone this past year. His decision-making has improved really well. He's capable of throwing with touch, somebody that's going to offer quite a bit as a runner. Drake May, part of my issue with him is that sometimes he will just throw the ball up into coverage, which is fine when you have a Tez Walker. I didn't think it was so much fine last year when you're throwing to Josh Downs, who is, sub 6 foot. As much as I love Josh Downs, not necessarily a jump ball athlete. So I wanted to see some improved decision-making this year. Didn't quite see him get to where I wanted him to be. So that's why he wasn't able to take that next step for me. But I still think he's one of the top quarterbacks here in this draft class. And then, as I alluded to, J.J. McCarthy, you see him there, expected to throw at the combine. He's that player that I think could get into that conversation. He comes from a run-heavy offense at Michigan. They're very hard-nosed, run it down your throat. But somebody that completed over 70% of his passes this past year, he rarely loses a football game, great leadership qualities. He's tough. That's going to allow him to endear himself to these college to these NFL coaches, general managers, et cetera, looking for a proven winner. J.J. McCarthy is that guy.
Breach, any thoughts on this quarterback class? I mean, obviously Drake May went to Carolina. I watched him a lot. I think I think he should probably be more polarizing than he is for the reasons that Josh pointed out. I'm a homer. Everybody knows I'm an NC State fan, but Drake May has not played well against good defenses. And to Josh's point about Tez Walker, he was, the NCAA wouldn't allow him to play for the first few weeks of the 2023 season. And that Carolina offense really sputtered early on. Now they had switched offensive coordinators because Phil Longo went to
Wisconsin, right?
They went to Wisconsin. That's right. Yeah. And so you're switching offensive coordinators. That's tough. You lose players to the NFL every year. I thought, Drake May got it going quickly after Tez Walker got there. He was vaulting himself. They were undefeated, top 10. He was sort of getting in the Heisman conversation. And then once again, and look, one of them was an NC State team that's got some players, some legitimate defensive players. He had to play NC State, and he had to play Clemson, and he didn't play particularly well against good defenses. And that just has to be a red flag when you look at his production against those teams. The McCarthy thing is fascinating, too, because Breach, I think Caleb Williams had more attempts than more completions than J.J. McCarthy had attempts, which is wild. That's how run-heavy that is. And, of course, Bo Nix, 49 years old. Spencer Rattler had been around for a while. And Michael Penix Jr. led his team to the freaking national championship. This class, the Carolina Panthers gave away the number one overall pick in this draft class. It's unbelievable how stupid that was. This class is 40 times better than last year.
Yeah, and if you have the number one overall pick in a QB-heavy class and you don't need a QB, you can literally hold that thing for ransom because everyone is going to try and call you and trade up, or at least everyone who needs a quarterback. Yeah, talking about J.J. McCarthy makes a lot of sense because I think he has the most to gain at this combine. As you guys pointed out, with Michigan's offense, they just weren't throwing the ball very much, so you don't really have this huge data set of what he's capable of. So you're going to have the scouts in there saying, all right, we want to see you make this throw and that throw and this throw. And so he might come out of this and wowing people. So I do think that he probably has the most to gain out of everyone on this list. But I think Jane Daniels seems like a wild card. I would say he has the highest ceiling, maybe not the best prospect on this list. So I think this is a very fascinating list. And if I was an NFL general manager, I'm not sure who I would take. I don't think Caleb Williams is a slam dunk over the rest of these guys necessarily.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too about it is this works out great for the NFL. Caleb Williams, a monster superstar. Drake May, a high-profile prospect. Jaden Daniels, the reigning Heisman winner. And then again, look at these guys. These are big-profile name quarterbacks in a draft that has the Bears up top with this Justin Fields decision that's going to drive the conversation like throughout the offseason. I know Josh wrote a piece about what they could do in terms of I believe you did, right? Like the possible trade possibilities with Justin Fields and all that. So it's from a few weeks ago or whatever, but months ago maybe. It's on CBSSports.com. And then you have, at two, Washington that needs a quarterback. At three, New England that needs a quarterback. The Arizona Cardinals are out here tweeting about Kyler Murray being a franchise quarterback on Monday of the Combine as if to say, no, we're not looking at quarterbacks. Like, could you be more sensitive, Kyler Murray? My God, you need your team to tweet that out. This draft is going to be, it's gonna do monster numbers in terms of traffic and discussion and people thinking and talking about it just because of how interesting it is. That being said, there are plenty of lesser names that we need to talk about. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss sleepers for the 2024 NFL draft. Next.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We like to poo-poo the combine because it's like, oh, you can't tell what anybody can get from 40, running a 40 in gym shorts and what kind of football player he's going to be. And you're like, oh, jumping really high. That didn't tell you anything. Well, I mean, kind of. There's a middle ground. Like everything, there's a middle ground because I will tell you my favorite combine sleeper story of all time.
When you fell asleep at the combine?
Yeah, I fell asleep at the combine for sure. Oh, yeah, I've slept in. Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, the combine – you can go big at the combine.
It's a grind. And
like you, you see, yeah, like we used to do shows at 8 a.m. and you see, like, you have stuff happen to the combine that is like kind of mind blowing. Like, John Schneider accused me of being the guy who wrote the story about him being shirtless with a championship belt on. And I was like, no, I didn't write that. He's like, I think I did write it for CBS, but I wasn't the original writer. And then, like, the Seahawks PR guy got furious at me and told me I needed to go to bed. And then the next morning, I saw, I was like, sorry about that. You know, you have, like, me and Andy Benoit, way back in the day, we're walking through Indianapolis, snow dumping everywhere, freezing. And we're like, oh, my God, we have to get out of the snow. We are freezing our asses off. And the only place we could find that was, like, right there was a Hooters. And we walk into the Hooters, and it's Mike Shanahan and John Gruden and John Fox pounding Coors Lights at the Hooters in Indianapolis. And we were just like, of course, that makes actually so much sense. So, yeah, the combine, you see incredible stuff. You see weird things.
You go to any restaurant during combine week, whether it's Hooters or whether it's a fancy steakhouse, there is a 90% chance you are going to see an NFL general manager or head coach.
Yeah. We were actually one time we were, you know, this, I'm name dropping, but it's a combine. I don't care. We were walking down the street. It's like me and Prisco, and I can't remember if you were there, Breach. I think Wilson was there. Somebody stops Pete Prisco and goes, "Hey, you're the guy on the Pick Six podcast, right?" And I was like, "Yes, that's what you're known for, Pete." And he got all mad. I ended up like talking to those guys about the pod. They're big podcast fans, and they also like the show Pardon My Take, if everybody's heard of. And we get down to this one main bar in Indy. And I'm talking to these guys who are like, oh, my God, do you see who that is right there? And I turn and look. I'm like, yeah, it's John Elway. How awesome is that? John Elway's just kicking it like a button up, chest poking out. And they're like, no, the other guy. And I look, it's freaking Big Cat. Like John Elway, dude. Like, and you're like pumped about Dan Katz, who I love, Dan. But like John Elway, like, it's just like the whole thing is very, very surreal. There's lots of great combine stories, but.
And by the way, Brinson, my favorite part of your Hooters story is that you went to Hooters. Is that
absolutely?
You could have gone anywhere in Indianapolis to eat. You get the expensive meal.
No. We were walking from 1.8 to like Hooters. No, we were. I love Hooters. Yeah, the wings, they're delicious. We were walking from point A to point B, and it was so cold we had to get out of the cold. It was like minus 15 degrees, and Hooters was just right there, so we popped in. We didn't like stay and eat, but we did. You know, we did coach watch for a little bit. Anyway. That was a sleeper story about the combine, which turned into me telling random combine stories about things that happened. My favorite sleeper breach, favorite combine sleeper story, Ali Marpet, the now retired, I believe, Tampa Bay Buccaneers guard who went to Hobart College, D3 Hobart. Sorry.
Brinson is muting himself. I'll finish his Ali Marpet story. 2015, Division III, and you have – everybody raising their eyebrows. What the hell are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doing drafting this guy from a Division III school? He goes on to a fantastic 7-season run in Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl blocking for Tom Brady.
He obliterated the combine, like lit up the combine, ended up getting taken in the second round. There's no chance that Ali Marpet is drafted on the first 2 days of the draft without the combine. With that being said, Josh, we want to get your top five sleepers for the 2024 NFL Draft. This NFL Scouting Combine Sleeper segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Who tops the list for Josh Edwards in terms of combine sleepers?
So I'm looking at Kansas edge rusher Austin Booker, a player who spent a couple of years at Minnesota. He transferred to Kansas, was kind of a rotational player. They would take him out in certain situations, but he's a player that I think has all the qualities that teams are going to be looking for in a productive edge rusher at the next level. Somebody that's incredibly long, good first step, somebody that can bend at the high side of his rush. I think he's one to watch this week at the combine. You just want me to go through the whole list? All five here? You got follow up?
No, I mean, I would say like what's in terms of does it matter? Is he scheme transit or scheme independent, like 3-4, 4-3. I feel like these days, like almost all edge rushers are. What's it like, you know, teams that might be targeting him, I mean, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be very multiple in today's NFL game anyway. So I wouldn't exactly expect him to drop into coverage too much, but he's somebody that can cloud passing lanes if nothing else. You're pretty much looking at a predominant edge rusher at the next level, somebody that's going to be able to apply pressure on third down and really move the quarterback off his spot. That's what I think he's going to do really well at. I think he still has some room to grow as far as adding some mass to his frame, holding up in the run game, that kind of stuff. But I think a player that he's one of the juniors in this class, so his best football is still ahead of him. I think there's a lot of teams that need a productive edge rusher. And when you get into day two, day three, everybody's going to be looking for somebody that
he's probably a day two guy, like worst case, right?
So there are some people that still have him in that day three range. I personally think he's going to end up on day two just because of his potential and what he brings to the position. Because you don't typically find players edge with rushers. That much potential as an edge rusher once you get into day three. So I think he is ultimately going to move up the board, and perhaps that starts this week in Indianapolis.
I should probably be using CBS Sports rankings, but I always just default to NFL.com because I've got them there. Do you guys have rankings? Did you do the rankings? I don't want to insult you, but like, was it you or Trav? Is it a cumulative rankings? The NFL ones are just easier for me to navigate from a navigational standpoint. So check out the CBSSports.com rankings. I see him ranked as a top five edge rusher. I think you don't have that potential. You're probably going to get pushed up a little bit higher than you would think at that position. Who's number two?
So number two on my list is going to be Nathan Thomas, an offensive tackle from Louisiana. Just somebody that moves really well for his size. Coming out of that Louisiana offense, they are a run-heavy team. So I think having somebody that moves as well as he does is going to translate really well to the next level. I always look for players that have that flexibility, that mobility, that I think ultimately translates to the NFL. Whether that's year one, whether that's 3 or 5 years down the road, I think Thomas is somebody that a lot of people are sleeping on, and he's ultimately going to end up moving up the boards, especially at a need position, because we talked at the top how all of these teams are really looking for offensive line help. So a player like Thomas, who I think has his best football ahead of him, he's one of the juniors in this class. I think he moves really well and is going to be really tantalizing for a lot of teams. Possibly in the day two. I know a lot of people still have him in that day three range, but I personally like him as a possible day two target for a team looking for offensive tackle help.
All right. I think Breach may have been distracted by just very quickly to note as we go through these. It's not relevant to what you're saying, but Adam Schefter reporting that neither Saquon Barkley nor Josh Jacobs likely to be franchise tagged by those respective teams. Who's your number three sleeper?
So number three for me is Trevin Wallace, a linebacker out of Kentucky. Again, one of the juniors in this class. I think that's kind of a trend that you're seeing as people kind of watch more film on these guys that, you know, they weren't necessarily expecting to be a part of this draft class. I think Wallace is somebody that could rise up the boards because he has that great size that you're looking for at the linebacker position. He needs to improve upon how he reads the flow of the play and that kind of stuff, his processing. But once he gets to Indianapolis this week, that's a setting where I think he can really thrive. He's expected to test really well, run fast, jump high. And when you look at the athletic profile to go along with his size, that's a player that could move up the board, especially in a year where we really don't have those elite linebacker prospects that we're accustomed to having. So I think he's somebody that, when it's all said and done, would not surprise me if he ended up on day two.
Well, Josh, you clearly live in Kentucky with this crazy Kentucky bias, this SEC bias, this two straight sleepers from the SEC. Who do you got at number four?
So number four, I'm going to go to the ACC, unfortunately, to a school that Will is not the biggest fan of. But I'm going to go to North Carolina because interior defender Miles Murphy, again, is a player that I think moves really well. He still has to develop a pass rush plan, but I think there's a lot to like when you look at how he plays the game. Somebody that still has some untapped potential and at a position of need, again, where teams are looking for big bodies that are able to get upfield quickly and move the pocket a little bit. Murphy is somebody that could be a very big steal for a team on day three.
I actually think, Josh, that you will see a situation where when all is said and done, I think there's four guys in the top prospects, Miles Murphy, linebacker, Cedric Gray, Devontae Walker, and Drake May. I think all four of those guys will end up going fairly high out of Carolina, and people will say, really, this team only won eight games, or at least should say that. They're not going to have 10 guys drafted, but, I mean, look, you got a top five quarterback. And Devontae Walker's a guy I think is going to be fantastic in the NFL. He's just a stud. Like Miles Murphy and Cedric Gray, I mean, people are going to ask questions, I think, or should ask questions about Carolina. I still get to burn Carolina, even though we're propping them up. Who's number five for you?
Yeah, I like the backhanded compliment there. I was wondering how you were going to fit that in. So well done. Number five for me is Javon Solomon, an edge rusher out of Troy. Really powerful player, but also has a little bit of twitch to his game. Very productive. Somebody that's been well coached by John Summerall, who has now moved on to become Tulane's head coach. So when you look at what he's accomplished at the college level, as well as his size and his athletic profile, I think he's somebody that, again, is going to be appealing for teams. Once you get into that late day two, maybe even early day three range, that's somewhere where Solomon could come off the board.
All right, I dig it. That's this NFL Combine Sleeper segment has been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Josh always brings the goods with his sleepers. Let's talk about positional groups. Who, to me, I think this is it. And I've been trying to figure out how to write about this for CBSSports.com, like how to frame it in a way that's kind of interesting. But, you know, we've seen T. Higgins is tagged. But we expect, like, Mike Evans could still hit the open market. Michael Pittman could still hit the open market. There's a lot of, like, the wide receiver free agency class is interesting, but, and Josh, I mean, maybe I'm misreading what your answer is going to be, but this wide receiver class in the draft is like the best I've ever seen. And I'm not saying it's going to pan out like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and that class. And obviously there were some misses and some bad stuff that happened with that class. But like, I think that this class is as, like, it is absolutely loaded up top. Do you think the wide receivers are the best positional group in this draft?
I think there's a strong case for it because I think you can get really quality players even into day three. And that's a trend that we're seeing year over year because of how much teams are throwing the football in college. You know, a lot of these players are getting more repetitions than they've would have gotten in the past. We've moved away from those run-heavy offenses, and now you see these spread-out offenses that are utilizing their wide receivers in bunches, you know, three, five wide receivers at a time. Those guys are getting the targets that they didn't previously get. And that's why we're seeing such a high volume number of these wide receivers coming into the NFL over the past couple of years. And I don't see that changing in the next couple of years. But we've talked about the guys on top, Rome Odunze from Washington, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers. Those guys are often mentioned as being top 10 prospects. Brian Thomas Jr., I think, is somebody that could test really well out of LSU in Indianapolis this week. I think he could be a big tester and somebody that moves up the board. Keon Coleman at Florida State, Malachi Corley at Western Kentucky, Troy Franklin, Oregon, Jalen Polk, Washington. I mean, there is a ton of wide receivers.
Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. McConkey,
Ricky Pearsall, Javon Baker. I mean, there's a ton of guys.
Donnie Mitchell. I mean, this is loaded, yeah. Dude.
You can go on and on. I mean, we could just riff back and forth off each other for quite some time. I mean, there's that number of guys Devontae's, that are going to be going.
Devontae's Walker, we didn't even mention in that group. And then, like, yeah, I mean, you got guys like Jalen Polk who had great seasons, Brendan Rice. I mean, it's just really, really deep. And I'm curious, like, how many do you think we could see in the first round? I mean, I think three, you can lock in. You probably lock in four bare minimum for the first round, I think, with Brian Thomas Jr., along with Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr. The question is how many more could trickle in on the back end, especially with all these quarterbacks. Like, we might get to number 10 overall before you see a defensive player come off the board. And it's not like the defensive players are bad. This is just a loaded offensive class.
Yeah, number 8 overall is the latest that a defensive player has been taken in the first round, at least for the past couple of decades. Didn't check beyond 2000, but this is somewhere, a statistic that we're going to be talking about for quite some time because that possibility does exist. You're talking about three, possibly four quarterbacks there in the top 10, you know, three wide receivers. You're talking about two, maybe three offensive tackles. You're already up to 10 players. You know what I mean? So, like, we could very easily be sitting at number 10 overall and a defensive player has yet to come off the board. That would be historic and something that is very much on the table. But I will say part of that also hurts this wide receiver group because when you're looking at the depth of this class, there are going to be teams that say, hey, we might be able to wait on this position and get one of quality on day two. Let's get a player at a different position of need where, you know, the depth is not there for our picks in round two, round three. And then that starts to push the wide receivers down the board a little bit. So it's almost a detriment in some ways. I think once you see a run on the position, possibly middle of the first round, once you get into the 20s, that's where that kind of needs to happen for seven wide receivers to get in the first round. Otherwise, I think you're looking at 4 to 6, probably being the most likely scenario.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's an interesting way to look at things, as far as it can almost hurt the wide receivers that the class is so deep. Because I think another position that is somewhat deep is offensive tackles, which is not something you usually get in the draft. And if you're a team that's trying to decide between a receiver and an offensive tackle, I think you're probably going to go to the trenches first and use the logic that Josh just mentioned, where, hey, we can get a receiver with our second round pick because it's so deep and someone should be there. And Brenton, it's interesting that you brought up the free agents, your Mike Evans, your Michael Pittman, because if you're a team that needs a receiver, do you want to pay $25 million for Mike Evans? Or do you think, wow, this draft class is so deep, we can get a guy for 5 years and $25 million instead of giving that up for one season? So I do think that teams will look to the draft versus free agency to get a receiver. Yeah, so
it may impact the price, the contracts you see from the receivers in free agency because they say, all right, look, like, here's our number for Mike Evans. We're in competition with, like, let's say Bucks and the Texans are in competition for Mike Evans. Well, maybe the Texans say, we got picks. You know, we're like, we'll wait. We don't need to, you know, expend. We're not going to go up top because we can just grab somebody in the draft.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, small school prospects and players who are locks to have a great combine. Next.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, Josh, we already did sleepers. Let's talk about some small school prospects. Anybody that we need to know about from smaller schools, the Alibar Pets of the world. I'm trying to think of the smallest school player I can remember being drafted. It's got to be Hobart. Anything, Breach? You remember any, like, a crazier, like, small school? Miami of Ohio, that little dink.
Yeah, I don't think that counts.
No kidding. It's a big school. All right, Josh, hit us with some small school prospects.
Yeah, there's about a dozen of these small school prospects that will be in attendance. A couple of them I will touch on. You've got Luke McCaffrey, the wide receiver from Rice, somebody that could be drafted in this year's class, the brother of Christian McCaffrey, the son of Ed McCaffrey. A family that has rich tradition in the NFL, you're very likely to see another one in the lineage move on to the NFL in this draft class. And then the one that I want to talk about is South Dakota cornerback Miles Harden, a player that has good size. He's a smooth mover, physical, somebody that I think could be a really good steal for a team on day three of this draft class. I think he is one to potentially watch. You've got some real small school guys from this class. Houston Christian edge rushers Jalix Hunt is probably one of the smallest in this year's draft class. You've got Monmouth represented. Holy Cross has a couple of guys there. But I'll say McCaffrey and Harden are a couple that are particularly intriguing of the small school prospects.
Breach, what's your favorite combine story about a player with a question mark?
My favorite combine story ever about a player with a question mark?
Yeah, because mine is, I think it was 2012. And I don't want to say.
Was this the Hooters year or not the Hooters year?
No. I don't want to say the media member who did this because it was, because I'm just not going to say who it was. But somebody went up to Janoris Jenkins and said, do you know the names of all your children? Because Janoris Jenkins reportedly had like 8 kids with several different women. And, you know, I don't know how we qualify that as, you know, from a, you know, in 2012, it was considered a red flag and he'd been to several different schools and people were asking questions. I remember standing there, I was like, did you just ask that dude to name all his kids? And Janoris Jenkins ripped off all the names of his kids, which, you know, I mean, I think I even wrote about the story, but it was like, it was just sort of a crazy moment in the combine where somebody, like, I mean, somebody asked Dez Bryant, actually Jeff Ireland, he got fired for it. He asked Dez Bryant if his mother was a prostitute. Like, that's up there on the Mount Rushmore of insane combine stories. Anything that you remember, Breach, that gets your traffic needle moving?
I don't have anything at the top of my head because I was too busy trying to figure out the last Division III player who got drafted. And I believe it was Quinn Meinerz who got drafted by the Broncos in 2021.
Boom. Josh, good job, Breach. Josh, what are some guys who do have question marks? It feels like these days it's really more like injury question marks. Like I don't know. Is it a generational thing? These kids these days don't get as much trouble. It doesn't feel like there's as many like off field red flags. Well, obviously, like Jalen Carter had some stuff. We've seen Lyle Collins it's happened before around the draft of the combine.
Yeah, the Jalen Carter situation was pretty wild last year because the arrest warrant came out while the combine was going
on.
Right. He was getting ready to take the podium. So it was pretty wild to see everybody looking down at their phones, the way that news and information spread throughout that interview room, which if nobody has seen, it's, you know, you've got about 10 podiums in a U-shape around this gigantic room. You've got NFL Network set up. You've got CBS Sports HQ set up. You've got some other media in this giant room, but everybody's just kind of focused on these podiums, and it's where all the media congregate. There's hundreds of people in there, and when that news came down, it spread like wildfire. It was pretty crazy to see just how quickly people were kind of buzzing about that, and then how quickly the media got on air so they could talk about it. That was one thing that's definitely one story that I will take away from the combine.
It's a unique one for sure, yeah.
As it relates to this year specifically, you're exactly right. I think most of it is medical related. Leatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA, actually medically retired at one point in his career. You know, the medical checks are going to be really important.
Was that concussions or was it something else?
I don't remember. I get him and Jalen Phillips confused sometimes. But I will say that there are going to be teams that look extra hard at that, and they may even flag him as somebody that they want to do a recheck on just to make sure they saw everything correctly the first time, because he is one of those players that could be taken in the first round, and you don't want to take somebody that's not going to be available to you a couple years down the road. I mean, Tennessee looking at Caleb Farley a couple of years ago, he, you know, hasn't contributed a whole lot for them coming off of his injury. So Latu is one that we're looking at in this draft class. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think how fast is he going to run? A lot of people think, you know, he may be in the 4.5 range. I tend to think he's going to run a little bit faster than that. But the guy that started this draft class as the number one cornerback has kind of fallen back on pace a little bit. You know, he's behind Terrion Arnold, his teammate at Alabama. He's behind Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo and Nate Wiggins at Clemson. And for him to kind of reestablish his draft stock, I think he needs to run pretty well at the combine this week. And I think he's probably somebody that could actually surprise a little bit when the dust has settled.
I actually use my pick for not only best combine, but like for best combine, but also sort of a red flag issue as a segue to players we think will have the best combine. And get your cocktails out and prepare to drink. Pick Six Podcast bingo time, because I'm picking somebody from NC State to no one's surprise. My guy Peyton Wilson, he's older. That's a red flag. He suffered a bunch of injuries in his college career, and his playing style is not conducive to a lengthy playing career. But man, is Peyton Wilson going to tear it up at the combine when he tests? I think as it currently stands, I'm actually surprised. I thought that he might be more of a day three guy because of injuries. But the what I'm seeing out there is that he's a round two, round three guy potentially. Now, you know, I think the Bengals would be a really interesting fit. They had Jermaine Pratt from NC State, who they brought in as a linebacker and his fit. And they also, of course, B.J. Hill. Like, they've had success bringing in guys from the NC State scheme that have done well in Cincinnati. Peyton Wilson reach would be an incredible fit in that Lou Anarumo defense. He is athletic, a ball hawk, piles up stats, just, you know, an absolute Adonis in terms of a specimen. And he is going – like, he's a great on-field player. His tape is incredible. And I think he's going to light up the combine. I think he's going to rise as a result of the combine testing. But I also think it's possible, Josh, that we see – or Breach, if you want to answer – that we see sort of, you know, some – like, if the teams do the medical checkouts and it doesn't go well, it could hurt him as well.
Classic Brinson trying to will his NC State guys from a mediocre team to the Bengals, who are –
to another mediocre team. Yeah, I want them to get them. Yeah, championship organization.
Yeah, I'll just say real quick that because we've already talked about this person a lot, I think that J.J. McCarthy is going to have a great combine. I feel like he is going to go in there. The casual fan is just, hey, he won a national championship. Did he ever actually throw the ball? Because every time I turned a game on that involved Michigan, they were running the ball. And I feel like that's how a lot of casual fans probably feel about J.J. McCarthy. But look, he made some great throws. He was in a high-pressure situation for a championship team. And I feel like he's going to go into this combine with a chip on his shoulder to prove that he's just as good as these guys, as your Caleb Williams, as your Jaden Daniels, all the guys that are being mentioned above him. So I think we'll see J.J. McCarthy tear it up.
I knew we were going to shoehorn Peyton Wilson into this conversation somewhere. I wasn't sure where we were going to get it done, but I knew it was going to happen eventually.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
Coming off two torn ACLs, a shoulder injury, but one of the most productive linebackers in college football this past year, and someone worthy of top 100 consideration for sure. My pick is going to be Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama. He's not viewed in the same light as Will Anderson Jr. last year. I think Anderson was, you know, more consistent, a more well-rounded prospect. Dallas Turner is still a relatively young player. And I think when he takes the field this week in Indianapolis, if he does, we don't know for sure. I mean, he could wait until his pro day or not test at all. But I think he is somebody that could stand out in Indianapolis this week because he's at Alabama for a reason. You know, he's got that five-star profile. He runs fast. He jumps high. And I think this is a perfect opportunity to cement himself as the top edge rusher in this draft class.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I should note, as we get out of here, Malik Nabers not going to run or test at the combine either, going to wait and do it at his pro day, according to Ian Rappaport. I'm kind of – look, I got to tell you, Josh, happens every year. I'm like, combine, whatever. And then we do this podcast, and you get me hyped for the combine. I'm pumped to see these guys test, pumped to see how they move around on this board. The NFL offseason is like nothing else. I mean, the NFL season is just an insane run of, you know, like football for X number of weeks. But, man, the NFL offseason is 10 times crazier, and it all kicks off at the NFL Combine. Josh, as always, buddy, thank you for joining the pod. Breach, you're stuck with me for another show on Thursday, I believe. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. For Josh, follow Josh at EdwardsCBS on Twitter. Great handle. And obviously read his stuff. Tons of draft information you're going to want this offseason. Subscribe to John Breach's Pick 6 newsletter. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. For Josh, for Breach, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.